Well, we are continuing in our series on the church. It's been kind of an on-again, off-again. Last week, we looked at the miracle of the Pentecost, about how God has, through Christ, broken down the walls of separation and allowed us to be one with Him and one with each other. And that was made possible through the New Covenant. We've looked at the New Covenant. We've looked at the church and the promise to Abraham, the church and the law. If you want to be refreshed on those things, you can go to the website, parksandbaptist.com, and go back and re-listen to those things. This morning, we're going to continue to look at the church and Pentecost. What did Pentecost mean to the church? And truly, that was really the birth of the church. But in order to kind of really understand what's going on here, we're going to back up to the ascension. And we're going to look at the ascension real quick because it kind of helps put everything into perspective. So we looked at, especially at Easter time or the resurrection time, we looked at the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And in Matthew 28, 16 through 20, Christ has resurrected, and now He is about to ascend into heaven. But He has something very important to tell the disciples before He leaves them. Matthew 28, 16 through 20, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" So Jesus here comes and visits His disciples, and He gives them what we call the Great Commission. The Great Commission: go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he gives that commission to His disciples to do that. So we see that Jesus gives the church a mission. And then we see that Jesus ascends into heaven. Looking in Luke 24, verses 44 through 53, it says, "Then He said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning Me.' And He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures." And I want to just stop right here for a moment, and I want to emphasize that verse. He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Why would He need to open their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures? Could it be because they did not have understanding and did not understand the Scriptures? Right? A lot of times we kind of look back and we think that the early disciples must have had perfect knowledge of God's plan, right? And over time, that knowledge has been diluted and corrupted. That certainly is the viewpoint of some people. But that is not really the viewpoint from history. That is not historically what happened. Historically, we have some guys, fishermen, some doctors, some really intelligent, some probably not so much, right? But they were picked by Jesus to go out and do a job. He gave them a mission. And the Holy Spirit gave them understanding. If you read through the New Testament, so many times, especially in the Gospels, you'll read, and the disciples remembered this after the Holy Spirit came and, you know, reminded them, right? Or they understood, or different things like that after the Holy Spirit gave them that understanding. And so it's truly the Holy Spirit that opened up their eyes. But here we see Jesus giving them the scripture, opening up the scriptures and saying, remember this? This had to be fulfilled. I had to do these things. And so he opened up the scriptures and he gave them understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And so Jesus has this mission for the church. Not only that they would go out to all the nations, but that they would preach remission of sins and repentance. Not just to the Jews, but to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are my witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Luke wrote the book of Luke, and he wrote the book of Acts. So if we go over to Acts and we pick up the story, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me that John truly was baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? For this same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will also come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So here we see that Jesus died, buried, resurrected. He had a time of communion with his disciples where he taught again the disciples. He opened up their mind, their understanding. He helped them to understand God's plan. But even still, right? Even still, the disciples are saying, okay, as Jesus is about to ascend up into heaven and the Holy Spirit is about to be come and to indwell them, even now they still don't quite understand what God is doing, right? Because what are they asking him? Is now the time we're going to overthrow Rome and free Israel? Right? That's what they're asking. Is now the time, right? We're ready to go. And Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times. But wait. Wait in Jerusalem, and you will receive power. You will receive the power that you need to go out and do the work that I have you to do. And the work that I have you to do is not to go overthrow Rome, but to spread the message of the gospel, repentance, and remission of sins through Jesus Christ. And so we see a few weeks later that they are now in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and we see the gift of the Holy Spirit is released into the early church. Acts 2, 1 through 13 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house, and they were where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." And so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" And others mocked, saying, "They are full of new wine." So we see this amazing, miraculous event where the Holy Spirit comes in, appears as a tongue, appears as a mighty wind, and fills up these people, and they speak with a tongue in which everyone hears it in his own native language and understands the message of the gospel, the message of God, the message of God's love for them and God's amazing works. Some of them didn't get the message, and they said, "These guys are just a bunch of drunks. What in the world are they doing?" But we see that this story continues. We see the fulfillment of prophecy. Acts 2, 14 through 21. "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this was what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so Peter is getting up and saying that this event here was prophesied by Joel, that the Spirit would come upon those who believed, and that whoever calls on the name of the Lord would be saved. And we see that then the church is born, and the church is going to grow. Peter preaches the gospel to the Jews. In Acts chapter 2, 29 through 35, it says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, David, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses, and therefore being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. This is the essential claim of Christianity. You have sinned against the God of heaven. And God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ. He died for your sins so that your sins could be forgiven. We are the reason that he died. And what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Miraculous signs and wonders are there to establish the authority of the claim. But the claim is, in essence, you are a sinner. Christ wants to forgive you of your sins, but you must make him your Lord, your Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." The promise is to you and your children, meaning the Israelites, the Jews, and to all who are afar off, the Gentiles, everyone. The promise, right, the promise to Abraham was that in his seed that he would be a blessing to all the nations. Through Christ, we have access to that promise. And what must we do? We must repent. Repent, and then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and the remission of sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we see that Peter preaches to the Jews, he preaches about David's prophecy, he preaches about repentance, and the church grows. With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day there was 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And now all who believed worked together and had all things in common, and sold their possession and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. And so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What an amazing, miraculous event. You know, the kids have this on the Right Now Media. Hopefully you guys are using that, but the Right Now Media, there's a... what's it called, kids, that we watch all the time? Superbook. And it takes these little cartoon characters, and they go back and kind of reimagine the Bible stories. And sometimes we kind of think about what that would be like to witness that event. Right, to witness the Peter giving that first sermon on the day of Pentecost, seeing that, being there in that room when the sound of the wind came in and the tongues were appearing above the different apostles and the disciples, and what did it all mean? What did it all look like? What did it all sound like? Right? These are questions that I know we're going to have in heaven when we get there. It's like, man, I want to know what that was like. Is an exciting event to see the birth of the church, to see these promises of God come to fruition. But the church is still growing. The church is still here. The church is still doing that work that God had commanded us to do, to go forth and to preach the gospel to all nations. And that essential claim that Peter made, that God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ, is still the claim that we must deal with today. What are we going to do about Christ? Are we going to follow him as Lord and Savior, or are we going to dismiss him as so many did? Let's pray.